thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the state of the Jewish people. Looking at the Jewish people, we can see two big Jewish populations, the one here in Israel and the other in the United States. And we'd like to understand the very complicated relationship between the two. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, so the state of Israel is the state of all the Jews in the world. Our leaders feel responsible both for the Jews in the diaspora and also those that live here in Israel. And there are two approaches regarding the status of the state of Israel among the Jews of the diaspora. One approach says that we are the cultural center of the world, and the other says, no, there's a cultural center in Israel and also in the diaspora, and there is a kind of a reciprocity between them. And regardless what approach you support, we see that all along there is a connection between the Jews here in Israel and the Jews in the diaspora. It's even stated in the Declaration of Independence, the Jewish state, which would open the gates of the homeland wide to every Jew and confer upon the Jewish people the status of a fully privileged member of the community of nations. And we appeal to the Jewish people throughout the diaspora to rally around the Jews of Eretz Israel in the tasks of immigration and upbuilding and to stand by them in the great struggle for the realization of the age-old dream, the redemption of Israel. Meaning the connection between these two parts is very clear, and for many years it was very clear, and in recent years we see that something's changing. We feel that the American Jews don't always support us, and there's a kind of a power struggle between these two parts, and we'd like to understand what's really going on. Why are we in this state, and where we headed? And I'd like to open with a question. How do you see the connection between the Jews and the diaspora and the state of Israel in the past and today? Okay, regarding the past, we can't compare it with what's happening today. Man is all in all an egoist. And if he's pressured and hated, he starts developing self-defense systems. And therefore, those Jews that lived 100, 200, 300 years ago in Eastern Europe, they developed different defense systems against anti-Semitism and pogroms as much as they could. And so they opened schools for agriculture and so on. There were those among them that became revolutionaries. There were those like Jabotinsky and others that dreamt about the land of Israel. And it was a kind of hope that once we'll be able to come back. I remember at my grandfather and grandmother's home, it was in Vitebsk, a relatively small city, 500,000 people, even less, in White Russia. There was this box, and it was written on it something in Yiddish. And they put money in there. Charity. In order to later send it to Israel to support the Jewish population here. And as a little child, I asked them, what is it all about? So my grandfather explained. And this was their hope. From all those small, remote places where they lived, this is how they used to pray to Jerusalem. And afterwards, after the horrible Holocaust and everything, everyone understood that something has to be done, that we can't get back on our feet unless we have a country of our own, a place where we can be safe and survive. The only thing that we're talking about is survival, that if someone comes against us, we'll kill him. And therefore I remember that I also had relatives from southern Russia, that they gathered there into Jewish kolkhozes. So they really disconnected from there and all moved here. Also Jabotinsky and the other revisionists, they moved long before me, because I started to get to know myself only in the 1950s. But these were people that looked for a haven. After they saw that it's possible to find a haven, maybe in the other countries too, so they started searching in other countries as well. When in 1974, after my request to leave Russia was denied for 4 years, I took a train to Vienna. And in Vienna, at the train station, four or five different representatives approached us. There was the representative of the Jewish agency from Israel. There was a representative from the U.S., the Netherlands, Italy, from Jewish communities and also from non-Jewish communities. There were Christians and so on. I said that we're flying to Israel. That was in 1974. And then, from the whole train that was full of people, me, my family, me, my wife, and my son, who was 2 years old back then, and another family from Georgia, we were the only ones that flew to Israel. And all the rest, they dispersed all over the world. They started thinking that it's easier to get along there, they can get along better there, you'll get more support there. Back then in the Netherlands, you were given everything. I didn't think about it, not even for a second, but I saw that people knew about it and waited for it and immediately said, yeah, we want to go there, we want to go here, and so on. So the state already changed. That was in 1974 and not in 1944. 30 years went by since the Holocaust, and already the Jews think that it's safe to hide behind the Dutch, the Americans, even behind the Germans. Germany accepted everyone back then. They felt great guilt. Germany, Austria, there was no question about it. And this is how we dispersed all over the world. Because if there's no pressure on us, no threat, then we disperse, because then we feel that we belong to the 70 nations of the world, because all in all, there is no Jewish nation, Israeli nation. There's no such thing as a Jew. A Jew is he who yearns for connection above all of the differences that exist between him and others. So Abraham, our patriarch, who established the people of Israel back in ancient Babylon, he brought closer different people to himself from all those nations that inhabited Babylon. And this is how he arranged the people of Israel. And therefore, if we don't have that point of unity that Abraham has established among us, above our ego, then we fall into the ego again and we feel no connection between us. I remember that in Russia we felt connection between all the Jews, and there was no difference between a Jew from Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Armenia, and Jews from Moscow, and Peter from the south and the north. There was no difference whether you're Sephardic or an Ashkenazian, because we're all Jews, and there was anti-Semitism against everyone, and so it connected us. And really, there was no problem. You didn't feel any problem. I myself didn't feel inferior or, on the contrary, superior to someone from Kazakhstan, a Jew from Kazakhstan, even though that maybe he's very different from me in terms of his behavior, mentality, that he used to live among that nation. But still, he's a Jew, and I'm a Jew, and they used to get married, and no problem. And here, because there was no pressure, no anti-Semitism, then the ego started showing itself. And when we came to Israel, we saw it. Jews come from Europe, from Yemen, from Morocco, from Iran, and they start scorning each other. How is it possible? You fled from hatred. You came to a place where we can be as brothers. Why is there the outburst of such hate between you, among you, and you can't accept each other? And it took dozens and dozens of years until something changed a bit. And this is because we don't feel a threat, so it's even worse. We don't feel that we need each other at all. And therefore the Jews that travel to America, the first generation, they still feel that they have some kind of connection with Israel. The second generation starts disregarding it and wants to disconnect. And the third generation, altogether, they get married to an American or vice versa and do not want to acknowledge that they're Jewish. Not only that they're not Israelis, but also that they're not Jewish. Until again, our enemies, the anti-Semites, come against us, and they say, no, you're from there, and that several generations passed since then, it won't help you. But we see you for who you are. And therefore, the anti-Semitism, it doesn't stop, but it keeps us. And as long as we don't want to connect between us and organize our nation again as one body, then anti-Semitism will do the work instead of us. We need it in order to keep us as a nation, as a people. So you're saying that it's a natural process that from generation to generation, the connection to Judaism is decreasing. We're always in this pendulum if we leave our connection. I don't want to say anything about Judaism that also gave us some kind of a framework, but it's not about that. If there's no connection between the Jews, the anti-Semites come against us and make us connect under their threat. Were we to connect without their threat, they wouldn't come to threaten us. So we need the threat on the one hand. It's not that we need it. We have no choice. We can't connect. But were we to renew Abraham's method and were we to connect, then we wouldn't need any external pressure and anti-Semitism wouldn't have appeared in our world at all. But for this, we have to connect between us and also show the entire world the method of connection because the world needs it. So, just to see if I understand, the disconnection from and the lack of support for the State of Israel by the American Jews caused anti-Semitism to surge in the United States in order to remind them who they are, that they're also Jews, and that they're connected to us. The assimilation of the American Jews, the State of Israel, that's another factor, but their assimilation, their desire to disconnect from their Judaism, to assimilate, the separation, the distance from each other, it brought hatred towards the people of Israel in general, not against the State of Israel, but against the Jewish people, that they don't want to be Jews. Why? Why be a Jew? For everyone to hate me? I see that the Afro-Americans, the Asians, the Latinos, the Eskimos from North America, and everyone, including everyone, lives in the United States, and they all get along. But everyone everyone hates the Jews. So why shouldn't they be a part of everyone? This is what they want, and this is why they want to assimilate. And so what's wrong with that, that they want to be a part of the general system? No problem, only it doesn't work out. They want to, but it doesn't pan out. Why? Because according to the plan of nature, the method of Abraham is alive and kicking inside us, only it's hidden. Abraham's method for connection, and we have to realize this method of connection for the entire world, which means to be light onto the nations. So they say, great, we'll be a part of this great big salad. But there is the plan of nature that the Jews have to connect and not disperse and assimilate, but they have to connect and show everyone an example of how to connect. It's not good to connect with others like they're doing today? No. Not this way, because one way or another, we're the representatives of the 70 nations of the world since ancient Babylon. And therefore, when we leave our connection, each of us feels that he belongs to a different nation. This I don't understand. Suppose I'm a Jew and I live in the United States. And really, the value of love another as thyself is my motto in life, and I want to realize it among all the people that live in the United States. This is why I came to the United States, for all the people to be connected and for everyone to love each other. What's wrong with that? And why does it bring waves of hate upon me? I want to get out of the Jewish ghetto and be the citizen of the world that promotes love another as thyself all over the world. This emancipation, mister, exists for 300 years, but it won't help you. It can't help you because it's against the law of nature. What, the law of nature, isn't it to bring love among everyone, for all the people in the world to be as one family? Right. So I want to promote that. Okay, so why am I getting a negative feedback? Because by getting married to a non-Jew, by this you do not realize the connection between people, between the nations of the world. What are you doing? You're only diluting your forces. First of all, you have to be included in the people of Israel. The group of Abraham, they have to return and once again become as one body and be light unto the nations, meaning an example for all of the nations of how to connect. And because among us, the people of Israel, this group, the roots of all the world exist in us, and also there is one root in which we're connected. The moment we're connected, we bestow the good to the entire world. That means to be light onto the nation. It's not a physical example, but you're connected beneath the surface. You're connected to all the nations since ancient Babylon. It's not mysticism. This is how it is. You have to understand that there is an historical phenomenon here. It's a natural phenomenon. And don't scorn it, because it won't help you. You can't escape it. You're escaping from one Holocaust to the next. Suppose, Yael, you and I were three Jews living in the United States, each of us living in a different place. Now I say, I really want to be the ambassador of love another as thyself wherever I am. And suppose you think the same, and also, yes, she's a good woman, she'll think the same. I don't want to necessarily be connected with you or preserve my Judaism the way my grandparents did. With all due respect, I'm living where I live today. I don't want to label myself. I don't want to restrict myself. I want to turn to all those people around me and to promote love among all people. And suppose so do you, and so does she. Don't we correct the world by this? No. Why? This is what I don't get. Why are you constantly closing me amongst you? Why all the time amongst you? There are other people. Why this ghetto? Let it go, finally. Love among everyone? Great. I'll be an ambassador. You'll be. But you have no love. Mister, what are you talking about? You get married to some woman, and you live with her. What do you care who I get married with? I don't. So what's the deal then? This is what the discussion is about now. Look, I can't talk to you. The anti-Semites will teach you. This isn't an answer. You don't want to acknowledge the law of nature, which says what? That the Jews have to show the entire world the method of connection. And the method of connection has to take place within this group called the people of Israel. It's not an ordinary nation. It's a group that has to realize the method of connection before the entire world. Atop all of our separation, love will cover for all crimes. And what will this give? Why is it better than what Oren suggests? Because there are two options here. There are no two options here. If history didn't teach you yet, then there's nothing that we can talk about. But we're trying to understand. You don't want to understand. I'm explaining to you that there are two things here. A, you have to show everyone the method of connection for them to see it with their own eyes, how it's possible to do it in one nation. And the second thing is for them to feel it beneath the surface, so to speak, so that they'll feel that, yes, the Jews are now doing something good, and we feel this method, and we want to do the same. And it'll work for them too. They'll also be able to connect. We are holding the connection. We are the root of the connection of the entire world, and unless we're connected, the entire world doesn't get the force of connection. So eventually, if we want to do good to the people that we live among, that are people just like us. In the United States, there are people from all over the world. Eventually, our goal is to do good to everyone. As we said, love another as thyself. So you're saying, first of all, we have to connect among us. Yes. So how, by our connection, can we do good to them? And why is it better than directly connecting with them? Because none of you is carrying the plan, the method of connection. What do you have as a result of simply getting married to someone? What can you produce? An animalistic connection. And what we're demanded is for it to be a systematic connection, for us to bring the method of connection to the entire world this way, so that the force of connection that doesn't exist in our world will flow through us to the entire world. But we have to connect first of all, and then the force of connection can spread through us to the entire world. What's the difference between the two kinds of connection? Because we can connect and awaken in us a force of connection that doesn't exist in our world or in our nature. If I connect with other non-Jewish people, the force of connection will not flow through us? No, because you're alone. You have to connect with other people who have the same spark, the same ability, and it exists only in those that came from that connection that Abraham made. So it's the only way to activate that force that you're talking about that will eventually give us what? It will allow everyone to connect eventually. And again, we have to understand that this is an eternal phenomenon that exists all throughout history. And you shouldn't shut your eyes on it. It's an historic phenomenon that exists, and we have to accept these facts as facts and not what you think is good. You're talking about a different connection than the one we're talking about. When we connect, or what Oren said at first, that when we connect with our neighbors or whoever in the United States or the people that live around us, we call it connection, but it's not the connection that you're talking about. Why not? A connection. It means that everyone thinks good things about the others, wishes them good things. It's enough. It's above our ego. Love covers for all crimes. And these heartly wishes to connect with someone else, to care for someone else, can't it come as a result of me connecting with my neighbors? History shows that it can't. You're asking as if you came from a different planet. I'll tell you furthermore, I even feel that I'm creating a kind of a separation here instead of a connection. Very good. This is what's demanded of you. Separate yourself and give an example to the rest of the world. In my perception, your perception doesn't mean anything because from generation to generation, all throughout history, it brings you to failure. So I have nothing to say, maybe only regret that we'll have to go again through the Holocaust and maybe it'll teach us. Our show is almost over. Let's go back to the relations between the Jews that live in Israel and the Jews that live in America. What kind of relations do you see from this point and on? It'll be a good connection if we only talk about our connection in order to give the world what we have to show the world the method of connection that the world is so needy of. So you're saying that it's our duty. So whose duty is it? Of all the Jews, both in Israel and also in the United States? Of course, there's no difference. The anti-Semites blame us for all of the problems of the world, and they're right. All of the problems, there you have hunger, and there you have war, and divorce, and drugs. It's all because of the Jews. This is what they say, and they're right. Because we have a remedy for all of these things, and we're not giving it. And when you say we have a remedy, and we have to do it, it's the same task for the Jews in the U.S. and also in Israel. No difference. Connection above the hatred. And the connection between us as two communities, it'll come naturally. We, regardless where you are, have to work at Abraham's method to connect above all the differences. So, if the Jews in the United States will connect, and also the Jews in Israel, where will it lead these two groups? To connection between them, yes. And how will it influence humanity? They'll also connect to us and also between them, but through us, because we are the center of the force of connection. Our time's up. A Jewish community has to function as the center of the force of connection. Yes. What does it mean? That we're connected with the upper force, and through us it spreads to all of the nations of the world and brings everyone to be as one people, as one man, and one heart, connected in adhesion with the upper force. The force of connection, this is eventually what opens everyone's hearts? Yes. And what is that upper force? Bestowal, love, and connection. Dr. Lightman, I see that you have to leave, so last question. How do we know that we've achieved the force of love and connection? Suppose the Jewish community will function as the center of connection. They'll be connected with the upper force, if I understood correctly. What is it like then? That inside the Jewish community, there is a force of connection and love. How does that community function then? They made the connection. They have that force. What is it like now? As one man and one heart. And outwards, towards the rest of the world, this is how they are. And this is how they disperse this force outwards to everyone, and everyone receives it and learns it and connects with them and between themselves. And this is what we have to come to? Have to come to. One way or another, the only question is, in good or in bad? I think that we can reach it in a good way, as the wisdom of Kabbalah says, but if not, then through assimilation. We'll get to it through great sufferings, God forbid. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Gail. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.